All right, the scripture, second scripture, is on printed on the back of your bulletin, if you'd like to follow along. The first reading is from Luke chapter 8, verses 5 through 6. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture. Next is Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Luke 8, verse 15. But as for that in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patient endurance. Well, like we said, this is the first week of the stewardship campaign here. And this week's focus is on growing, hence all the seed references. Pastor Janet is working hard, and she's met with many of us, working to create a vision of the Wesley mission and a strategy for going forward to help us focus our efforts. And I'm praying that this campaign will converge God's will in our efforts and resources. When I was thinking of the stewardship campaign, I used to think it was all about money. But it's much more than that. It's just like when you do a confirmation of the church, whether you're in confirmation class or you join the church, you say that oath that you will support the church with your presence, time, service, money, prayers. So there's a lot more involved in stewardship than just the money. Well, Jesus' parable of sowing the seeds is pretty simple to understand, at least I think so, because any good farmer knows not to plant seeds in the rocks. Seriously, one simple interpretation is God is the sower of the seed. It's another interpretation is God is the sower of the seed. The seed represents Jesus. The land represents the different types of humanity. And if they choose to accept Jesus and live their lives as a disciple or not. As I prepared for this week, I also recognized that God sent Jesus to everyone. So he went to all types of land, not just to the good land. So it is God has already done the work. So it's our job to share and remind others. That is exactly as Jesus conducted his ministry. He spent time with everyone sharing the news, the leaders and the sinners. As I thought about the stewardship and focused on growing, I found myself back at the seed. The seed will begin to form its root structure and then will sprout up, become a plant. That's determined by the type of seed. The size of the tree or plant will be determined by the root structure, which is critical for survival and provides the stability for the tree and the plant. In the past, I heard someone use the analogy that the root is your faith in the Holy Spirit that connects you with God. The trunk of a tree is you or the church body. And then the limbs are how the church reaches out to the community and to others. Just like the children's story about the mustard seed growing up to support the bird's nest and that. How many are familiar with the big sequoia trees out in the Northwest? I know when I saw them, I thought they would have to have some of the deepest root structures I've ever saw to be that tall. Well, actually, they have some of those shallowest roots for trees. In fact, if you look at a root from one of the big redwoods, and you look above that root, you will see a limb more than likely stretching out above that, because the redwood will capture the moisture and dew in the air or fog and condense it and drop it down to the roots where it waters it. It's kind of a self-operating water system. Well, Brenda would be proud because I was paying attention when we went on that tour out west. As I thought of this analogy, I thought of my root structure and my faith, and have to admit that my root structure is pretty shallow, just like the redwoods. We just finished up this Wednesday's night dinner program, and since I'm at the pulpit, I'll use this as an advertisement moment. We will start another one in spring. We'd love to see more people attend. And again, it's on Wednesday nights, and there will be more information to follow. The Wednesday night program was to encourage devotional reading, study, and spiritual growth, and a chance for fellowship. However, typically I did my weekly readings in one day or 2 days and sometimes even one. And on the other hand, I check email and fantasy football every day. So I look at my priorities there. Well, God has been working my life, and I have to admit right now, I have been noticing what I call godly moments, or Holy Spirit-inspired events. What I've been experiencing and learning in the last few years is that there is no magic formula or secret. It really comes down to my faith and commitment to live life as a disciple. Take time to recognize the godly moments. That is exactly what Jesus did. He was busy and had things he wanted and needed to get done, but he lived his life from a godly perspective and is the perfect example to follow. One of the greatest examples he demonstrated was to recognize a godly moment. My favorite example was when he was going to heal someone and the lady with the hemorrhages stopped and touched his clothing. In the middle of all that chaos, on a mission, he stopped and recognized that a godly thing had happened. And she is immediately healed because of her faith. So he recognized this event. And I just imagine what the disciples were thinking with all the commotion, him to stop. What do you mean? You're on the way to heal someone. What do you mean someone touched you? We're surrounded by people. So pretty much chaos. But an example of faith, such as this woman, is an elderly lady who was well known for her faith and for her boldness in talking about it. She would stand on her front porch and she would shout, "Praise the Lord." Next door to her lived an atheist. And he would shout back to her, "There ain't no Lord." Well, hard times set on the elderly lady, and she prayed to God for some assistance. She praised the Lord. "God, I need food. I'm on hard times. Please send me some groceries." The next morning, the lady went on her porch, noted a large bag of groceries, and shouted, "Praise the Lord." Well, there is the neighbor jumping out from behind the bush and said, "Aha, I told you there was no God. Because he didn't buy you groceries, I did." Well, the lady started jumping up and down and clapping her hands. "Praise the Lord! He not only sent me groceries, but he made the devil pay for them." What an amazing faith this woman has. She immediately turned the situation around because she had a perspective that was a godly one. She recognized and understands that our life and all of our blessings that we receive is a gift from God. As I said before, I thought stewardship campaign was about finances. What I've come to learn is stewardship is a response of discipleship and ordering of our life and what your priorities are. God is not interested in just 10%. God wants 100% of our lives. He wants our time, our money, and our relationships. The question is, how do we respond? I was attending a brief for work, and the story that had nothing to do with church or religion, and I sat there and saw it, and so I call this one of the godly moments that I recognized. So there's a story about a mouse. He lives in a farmhouse, and one day he notices that a farmer has bought a mouse trap. So he immediately runs out to the farmyard and goes to Miss Chicken. "Miss Chicken, the farmer bought a mouse trap." Miss Chicken replied, "I'm much too busy. I don't see where this is a problem of mine." So discouraged, he goes away and to see Mr. Pig. Walks up to Mr. Pig. "Mr. Pig, Mr. Pig, the farmer's bought a mouse trap." Mr. Pig said, "I'm really sorry to see that you're bothered by this, but don't see where it is a problem of mine." Mr. Pig said, "I will pray for you," and then rolled over back into his slumber. So the mouse headed off to see Miss Cow. "Miss Cow, Miss Cow, the farmer brought a mouse trap." Miss Cow replied, "Is that a problem?" The mouse said, "Never mind," and headed back, discouraged and worried, back to the house. Well, that night, after the farmer and his wife were in bed and asleep, the mouse trap slammed shut. Well, the wife got up out of bed because she didn't want the mouse trap in her kitchen all night with the mouse in it, and she picked up the mouse trap without turning on the light. And when she did, she was bit. She immediately turned on the light to see that the mouse trap had caught the tail of a copperhead, and he had bitten her. Well, the farmer tried to take care of his wife, and she became ill. So what do you give someone when they become ill? Chicken noodle soup. So it became the chicken's problem. Well, she continued to get worse, and he wasn't getting any better, and the farmer had to harvest his crops. So he invited some family to come help him take care of his sick wife. Well, now he had more mouths to feed. So he had to have a pig roast to feed all those mouths. So now it became the pig's problem. Well, a few weeks went by, and the wife finally passed away. So friends, family, neighbors came by to pass their condolences. So then the farmer decided to slaughter the cow to feed all those mouths. So now it is a problem for the cow. But it's just seeing how different things impact others. And I think of the movie Robots, where the theme of the main character was, see a need, fill a need. So that's the godly perspective that the cow, pig, and chicken should have had. When someone's in trouble, lend a helping hand, even if it's inconvenient for you. I have to admit that Brenda is wiser than me. After my first visit to Wesley, as someone said a couple weeks ago, shopping for a church, she had came to the church while I had to work on that weekend, or for a couple weekends, and she came back, brought me to the church. So I asked her, what does this church have to offer us? Well, Brenda quickly responded, you should be asking yourself what you have to offer the church. I have to say she had the God perspective, and I embraced her words, and we joined the church a few weeks later. Well, in closing, I tell you, all of the spoken words spoken during the 23 October service, which was the Pastor Appreciation Day, was probably my favorite service and definitely a godly moment that I witnessed, and I think a lot of you did too. Because the reason I say it's one of the best services I've attended is because I witnessed people excited about the church. And I told Pastor Dan this, and I said it on that day. The thing I attribute that to is the fact that Jesus is alive in the heart of Pastor Janet. And I think everyone else would say the same. So as we go into the stewardship campaign, I'll ask you, what do you have to offer the church? Thank you.